B-Pod Studios.
Our for Inside the Birds, Jeff Mosher joining us right now. What's going on, Jeff?
Hello, Mark. How's it going?
Been better. Been better.
No.
Now, I know you guys, I was listening to you guys last Monday, the first Inside the Birds podcast show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. You guys will be back at it, you and Adam Kaplan, 6 p.m. tonight to 8 p.m. Just your overall reaction to the loss and dropping to 0-2, Jeff.
Wow. Overall reaction is, I would say that the Eagles have been in this, you know, position before, Mark, the last 2 years. It's just usually they were in this position a lot later in the season and not at the beginning of the season.
But yeah,
they do know how to fight back. I mean, they've dealt with this before. They tend to rally around Doug Peterson when the chips are down. And, you know, before we get into some of the stuff that has led to them being 0-2, when you just step back and look at the bigger picture, you got the Bengals coming in here next. You have the 49ers who they may have a JV team ready to go by the time the Eagles play them with all the injuries that they have. And those are the kind of breaks and schedule blips that you need to kind of get yourself back together. Now, it's not going to correct itself, but really right now what Dallas has win and Washington has one win and that's it for the division. So hope is not lost, and I do think a lot of the issues that we're going to talk about are correctable, whether it's Carson, whether it's defense. So I don't think there's a full-on meltdown implosion coming. However, when you're 0-2, you leave yourself a really thin margin of error for the rest of the year, and if you're less worried about where they're going to finish in the standings and more worried about some of the things that, you know, on a micro level and contributed, you know, not just this year in years past to some of their struggles, that's understandable too.
Talking to Jeff Mosher, Inside the Birds podcast. You can hear it right here tonight on 97.5 The Fanatic from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Watching that defense start out this game was awful. And the Miles Sanders fumble was bad offensively. We know that. But how does a team come out after the game and say, they did exactly what we expected them to do and they still beat them? I mean, I look at Jim Schwartz for that. I also look at players saying that they're not focused enough. I don't know what the problem is, but it seemed like there was a lot of blame to go around, defensively speaking, especially to start out the game.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you there. I know that Jim Schwartz made a point in his Tuesday press conference, in his Zoom conference, to talk about the way the Rams use Jared Goff and his mobility. In the past, Goff has been someone who generally would they call him kind of the system, the program quarterback who just basically did what Sean McVay told him to do from the play sheet. And they did not use his mobility in a way that they did, in a season opener against Dallas and again yesterday. Jim Schwartz saw it against Dallas, and he told the media that they have to be careful about Goff on the play action, the misdirection, and the rollouts. And if you would not have heard that from Jim and just watched the game yesterday, you would have thought Jim was completely surprised by it. So the fact that Jim said it, I can't think that all week that they didn't practice against it. And so now you look at the players and execution, and what you saw yesterday was a lot of breaking of contain defensive ends, especially some of your veteran defensive ends. And you know, how do you practice all week of keeping Goff in the pocket or knowing where he's going to roll out and then break contain as much as they did? And then obviously, you know, you had some breakdowns in the linebacker and secondary level that led to those Higbee touchdowns. I think Jim does shoulder some responsibility. To me, he let Jared Goff get comfortable a little bit too much. I think he just felt that his team was going to stop making those mistakes and eventually figure it out. But they did too late. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but whenever by the bottom of the second quarter, end of the second quarter, and then into the third, they did a way better job of keeping Goff in the pocket. And Goff was really bad when he was in the pocket. Most of his passes were incomplete and hurried and rushed, and the D tackles weren't able to get pressure. Jim should have forced the issue, I think, with a little bit more blitzing earlier to get Goff uncomfortable and that whole offense out of rhythm.
Now, Jeff, to go to the other side of the ball, tell me about the relationship, and I don't mean are they friends, do they get along, anything like that, but the relationship between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. Is Doug Peterson getting the most out of Carson Wentz as a quarterback, and is Carson Wentz giving Doug Peterson enough that he needs to give him in order for that to be a positive result?
Yeah, that's a good question, Bob, and I think that's going to kind of hang over this franchise this year. I don't think that the relationship itself is bad at all.
Right.
I think the relationship itself is good from, this is my quarterback, this is my head coach. We have a lot of respect and adulation for each other. But I think the more pertinent question is how hard is or does Carson really strive to take in the coaching that he's getting, right? I mean, I have to be pretty sure that they work with Carson on the mechanical issues that you're seeing, the footwork and really the overstriding. Dan Orlovsky has talked about that. That has led him to be not as accurate, this year, even parts of last year, as he was in 2017. And I just wonder, is Carson stuck? Is he just not taking to the coaching? Because it was, once upon a time, this was Mike Groh's fault, and now it's Press Taylor's fault. And then it could be the next coordinator or QB coach's fault if Carson continues to have this mechanical issues. At some point, either he's not being coached hard enough or he's not receiving the message or it's a little bit both. But I would ask, what is coaching him harder? What do you use as accountability? Are you going to sit him down on the bench?
Right.
I don't think that they're ready to do that. So Carson really has to take it upon himself to fix these issues. And it's not just mechanics, guys. I mean, one of the things you'll notice is that his decision making hasn't been great. That forcing it into J.J. Arcega and Whiteside yesterday, while some of that was on J.J., was also on Carson. And he's clearly not seeing the whole field. There were plays to be made in both games that he just did not pull the trigger on. And yesterday he had Dallas Goedert wide open in the right corner of the end zone, I think right before halftime, and just didn't pull the trigger. Now, this time he threw the ball away. So we say, all right, at least you learned that.
Right.
But for a guy that talented to not be able to either read the defenses correctly or just having some kind of gun shyness to certain targets is not good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
With Jeff Mosher inside the Birds podcast. Jeff, looking at Carson then, you say a guy that is that talented, and we've seen him play at a much higher level. Nobody can deny that. But why the wild inconsistencies, especially like there was a couple of drops yesterday. He missed on some throws as well. The Arcega Whiteside read, like a lot of the stuff that we see has been wildly inconsistent with Carson. How do you correct that?
Yeah, so I think Carson is, and I know that the organization feels this way, that Carson's never going to be Drew Brees, right? He's never going to be that rhythm, timing, bang, bang, bang type passer who peppers the field and sees everybody. And he wasn't even that in 2017. He was a freelancer. We all remember some of the crazy throws Carson Wentz made where the coaches start off yelling, no, 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 and by the end they're saying, yes, yes, yes. That's Carson. He's more Ben Roethlisberger, more Brett Favre like than he's ever going to be, Joe Montana precision passer, Drew Brees type. So the question on how to correct it though is how to get him to see the entire field again, and also some of those mechanics cleaned up. I mean, it's just that is correctable, and again, it goes back to him wanting and taking that coaching and doing it. I mean, in 2017, he completed 69% of his passes, I think, and I think that's a little bit of an anomaly. I don't think he's going to be like that his whole career. Maybe that was 2018. Either way, one of those years he did. I think he's probably going to be in the low to mid 60s for most of his career. You can win with Carson being like that, but A, he can't turn the ball over, and B, he's got to make better decisions as far as and fix the mechanics. And I'll say this: if you go back to last year in December when they went 4-0. Carson's mechanics were still a little bit skittish at times. I mean, they fell behind the Giants 17-0 in one game, and he just was having a really rough game. It just so happened that they were playing a bunch of bad teams at the end of the year. They won the big game that they needed to against Dallas. But as good as Carson was, he was still erratic. But he interceptions in December. That was big. This time, he got 4. And, you lose the turnover battle. It doesn't help you compensate in other areas you might be weak. the Eagles could just fix their turnover issues, I think that would even help Carson kind of overcome what he's going through right now himself. But they got to protect the ball.
Jeff, they decided to make this team faster on the offensive side of the ball. They said it was a place that they had to change. They went out and got fast wide receivers, and you were getting DeSean Jackson back, so that's what you thought you were getting. Have they used that speed well enough? Now, it's hard to say that you're satisfied with anything if they're an 0-2 start and you're only averaging 18 points a game. But besides fly patterns, I don't see them using the speed you would think the way they could, with either slants, deep slants, whatever it may be. Are they exploiting the speed as much as they should?
I think in game one, Bob, they exploited the downfield speed in a way that they wanted to, and it worked. I was surprised yesterday. I know that the game plan yesterday was, and the Eagles have done a really good, they probably have done a better job of this than any other team in the NFL. They just know how to block up Aaron Donald and get rid of the ball and run away from him and play action and keep the guy off balance. I thought I read or saw that he's the only team that he's played that he doesn't have a sack against is the Eagles. But at some point, when your short game is working, and they did have a pretty decent run game, which sets up play action, and the short game, even with Carlos erratic, was working once they started to stabilize himself after that first field goal. But I was surprised that there were no deep shots taken whatsoever. And then to add to your point about speed, Bob, I saw there was one time where Jalen Reagor kind of motioned into the backfield and then caught the ball. Almost like a little bit of a tunnel screen, but they just kind of quick hit him,
right?
And they got a first down out of that. And I said, oh, there we go. There's that use of Jalen Reagor's explosion and getting him in space that I thought was going to be more prevalent. Now, I know it's only 2 weeks, and I know that training camp was altered, but they brought in Rich Scangarello to be a senior offensive assistant. He comes from that Kyle Shanahan tree. You know, they've got Marty Morningwig back and Andrew Briner and this and that. So I did think that there would be a little bit more variety to their offense that we haven't seen in the past. And again, it could be something that they just need a little more time to work in. But I, in general, I think Doug's smart enough to know that if you have a guy like Reagor who you can use in multiple ways, you don't just line him up at the X and run fly, as Bob was saying, that you could do that. And I haven't seen that yet.
All right, let's focus on that phrase. Focus on that phrase for a second here. Smart enough to realize. I think I'm smart enough to realize that DeSean Jackson's a pretty good wide receiver. Why didn't we really see him until the second half? Doug said after the game we made an adjustment to try to get DeSean more involved. You just realizing that he's a pretty good wide receiver? Why not go to him earlier?
And the weird thing is they do get him more involved in the second half, but they kind of get him involved like a possession receiver.
Yes!
Right.
What the hell?
When's the last time DeSean Jackson had 6 or 7 catches and didn't even have 100 yards or have a catch
in
30 yards or something? It was such an anomaly in that regard. So, they got him involved, but it almost was like to placate him just to say, DeSean, we're throwing you the ball, but not deep. And that's really obviously the specialty going back to last year in that first game. And that again goes back to where was the deep shot element of that game, because you were pretty stable. Your quarterback was not getting hit. This was not Washington all over again. You had their defensive front blocked pretty well, and you were running the ball pretty well. What you want to do is drive the ball. What you have a quarterback who likes to do is drive the ball, so the ball gets driven.
Yeah.
Good question.
It still doesn't make sense. You mentioned that they've had 0-2 starts before. We've seen this before. We know the deal. Do you see this team having that same magic as years past, where they can rally and do what they need to do to still make the playoffs at the end of the year? Does this team still have that magic?
I mean, it's easy to say no right now, but I'm sure we asked ourselves that same question after they lost to Miami.
Right.
Like, how can this team lose to Miami and really get the benefit of the doubt that they're going to win the last four? And bang, they win the last four. So it's too early to count them out. You know, again, Bengals, 49ers are beat up. It shouldn't be too hard to be 2-2 after four games, and then you're kind of back in it, and we're having different discussions. But I do always think that the line between yourself back on track and a total implosion is pretty thin. The Bills fight hard. I'm sure you guys saw that game against the Browns. They lost, and they looked like they were going to be out of it, but they fight hard, and Joe Burrow definitely looked like an impressive young rookie back. I don't think they're going to come in here and just lay down. So the Eagles are going to have to really get back track to get this win. If they go to 0-3, folks, we're going to have to be on alert here for what's going on with this franchise.
A little bit.
But it's kind of funny. I really mean this. You win the game, and all of a sudden you'll feel stable and you'll feel better. You lose that game, And now you start to really question the direction of the franchise.
All right, everybody, listen up tonight, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Jeff Mosher, Adam Kaplan, Inside the Birds podcast. That show will be on our station tonight, 6 to 8, presented by DraftKings. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Jeff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.